I told my mom I ain't fucking getting out of that race car, so I don't give a fuck what any doctor says. I told the doctor in the ER that I was like, I gotta drive a race car on Friday, and she kind of just looked at me. So
that's some Rick Rudd shit right there, buddy. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't look nearly as bad as him. Like he looked way bad. My one eye is kind of black. The other one's not too bad.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. We love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks. Welcome back to Applebee's. We are your motorsports meme cast.
Oh,
We are here to talk about all sorts of fun stuff that happened this weekend. I'm Brian, as always, and with Ashley and Rob. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Yep.
Good. That's all I got.
Once again, we're back on time, even though I kind of made a race trip over the last couple days, which we'll get into.
Well, you didn't see the entire race, but you definitely made it to Michigan, and I would say that counts as, at least in my book, you get a sticker for that.
It counts for something, but we'll get into that. But yeah, how are you guys doing otherwise? You said, Rob, you're good. Ashley, you said nothing.
Well, shocking. How are you? Because let's talk about your face.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. You got injured.
I guess we'll talk about my personal life.
Had a little trip down to Montgomery.
What?
Had a run-in with some guys on a dock.
That okay. No, that did not happen.
Maybe you've seen the video.
To the face.
Yeah.
I wish that was a story. It's way more interesting than the story that actually happened. So yeah, I know I've mentioned on here, folks, that I ride BMX bikes, but I also am a big mountain bike rider as well. And on Thursday, I managed to fall in the woods and break my nose, pretty bad. But I'm still here. I was not concussed. I got all my teeth. I managed to freak out like at least a dozen people walking down the trail covered in blood.
Hell yeah.
So that was cool. And
did
it didn't stop me
at the racetrack?
What's that?
Did
I scare anyone at the racetrack? I didn't. Nobody really said anything to me at the racetrack at all, actually. No one,
well, I guess you weren't dripping blood anymore, so.
No. I mean, I ran into
a New Jack type situation with your face bleeding, you know?
No, there was, all the blood was gone by the time Sunday came around, but yeah, it didn't stop me from racing. It's not going to stop me from doing the modified experience on Friday. It just, I look like I got shippied out of me, so.
And you kind of did, by Mother Earth, so.
Yeah, basically. Like, I've been telling people I got in a fight with the ground, so.
Now, I got to clarify this. You were actually on the bike, right, and it wasn't some sort of embarrassing, clumsy thing where you used the bike as an excuse. You didn't, trip over a recycling bin or something like that.
Oh, God, no. I wish. I mean, again, that would be a funnier story. It is, you know, I've been getting injured my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
This is not the first time I've broken anything or had to go to the ER.
It's your first nose break, right?
My first nose break, yes. And it's the first good injury I've had in a while. But, no, I'm a fairly experienced rider. But as these things go, sometimes you end up getting hurt. And that's what happened. But, you know. I'll live. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're all right, and I'm glad to hear you're able to parlay that energy into going out to Michigan despite the rain. You took your good buddy Rob's advice to just shut up and go to the racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't regret it at this point because, thankfully, you also informed me that I can exchange my tickets for another race, which is what's going to happen. So, long story short, a friend of the show, Greg, he's one of the guys in our fantasy league, very good friend of mine. We'd made these plans.
He was on the show, too, right? That's the same
Greg. No, you're thinking of Mike.
Mike, never mind.
No, Mike. Greg is in the Instagram chat, but he never really participates.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyways, yeah, we had made plans months in advance to go to this race, and he bailed a couple days out looking at the weather. Which I understand. He had a 6-hour drive each way Mine was only 2.5 hours, so way easier for me to take the risk than him. Plus, he was going to come out Saturday night and stay the night, so that was an extra expense. I decided, you know, might as well try again after much coercion from you and a couple other people. I will admit I was under the impression that if the race got started, we wouldn't be able to exchange the tickets. Turns out if you can't make it back for the rain delay date, which I decided not to go because I didn't really want to make that drive 2 days in a row, now we can exchange these tickets either Martinsville or Talladega. We're not 100% sure yet. I think we're leaning towards Talladega just because, I mean, for me, I know we've both wanted to go to Talladega. It's one of the few tracks on my bucket list, and I think the race will probably be more entertaining than Martinsville. I mean, we're definitely not going to see any wall rides this year. So, you know, that's the only thing anybody even thinks about when it comes to that race last year. So
you might be right about that. I mean, Martinsville is, if you've never been, it's worth the visit just for the history and to sort of feel, even though the place looks way different than it did in the 50s, obviously all the grass and everything and just how tight the facility is. It's really cool to check it out. And it is in the middle of fucking nowhere too. So it definitely feels very, very old school, but yeah, you're probably right about Talladega being a better show to go to.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I definitely want to go to Martinsville at some point, but probably not until they do something with the short track package, but
yeah, turn we'll it into a super speedway and let him rip.
Something like that. But going up Saturday, I mean, it was, as soon as I got to the track, I got there late, and I wanted to check out the gypsy tents just because I had one of the guys who ran them. I was supposed to meet and talk about some potential buyouts, but it happened, but I don't really know if we'll do business with that guy. Got to the track, got into the track right. What's that?
Is it the Martin Truex Jr. shirt guy?
No, not that guy. I did buy a Mark Martin GoDaddy shirt from this particular vendor, though.
Okay. Oh.
Anyway, so I got into the track pretty much right as the cars were hitting the track, and then within two pace laps, they were back off the track. But that gave me some time to go hang out with my friend Adam, and I also ran into my buddy Kyle. Both of those guys were the two guys I went to Mid-Ohio and watched that race with, so it was nice to see those guys for a little bit.
Real quick, wasn't our buddy, friend of the program, Dylan Johns was supposed to come too, right?
He was supposed to come also, and he actually had a go-kart race in Elkhart, Indiana, which he and his teammate won most of their main events. So, you know, congratulations to him. Winning go-kart races is definitely a good excuse to miss a cup race.
Yeah,
so
I'd say when you bring home a trophy, that's a pretty good choice. So congratulations, Dylan.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, the weather was looking okay. You know, we got a handful of laps in. Got to see a bunch of guys wreck. Sorry, Ashley. I also, right before the red flag, so I was sitting next to like three teenage Christopher Bell fans. Like, they're probably somewhere between 16 and 19, I would say.
Just like Christopher.
Definitely either still in high school or fresh out of it. And I was like, oh, sorry, guys. Like, because I could tell if it wasn't their first race, it was one of their first races. So I know what that's like to, you know, to go to a race and watch your favorite driver wreck out. And, you know, I gave him a conciliatory sorry, guys. And
gave him a hug.
Not long after that, the race was called. So that was a Michigan experience. You know, I saw about a third of the race, and now I'll get to go see another full race in a few weeks. So
yeah, I'd say that's a win. Worse. And again, all the big tracks, whether it's SMI or the NASCAR owned ones, they do have these rain policies. And I want to say the SMI one is a little less friendly. I feel like if the race starts, you might not be able to get quite the same amount of value for your money and get to go to another race. But pretty much every track on the circuit does offer some sort of weather plan that is transferable across most of the tracks that NASCAR goes to. So just know that when you buy, check out the policy. It's a nice little insurance policy for you if you want to go out there. And not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I've been going to races for 30 years. And even in the last 13 or so that I've been, you know, going every year, I've never had to actually use this clause.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's there because, you know, was really bummed out about not hanging out with Greg more than missing the second half of the race. So now we can plan another trip and make the most of it. So but
you guys are gonna have rain every fucking weekend, then at least the ticketing could be a little friendlier. So
yeah.
So kudos to NASCAR and everybody for you know, putting that contingency plan in place and actually following through, because I was able to cash in on an unused Loudon ticket as well. So
perfect. Real quick, Ashley, you got to get closer to the mic or something. I cannot hear you hardly at all.
I haven't said anything, so that's probably.
That's why, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe.
I've been silent.
If I'm not talking.
That's fair point, fair point.
Like a fucking deer, if you don't move, maybe they won't see me.
Sorry, I've got an old race on in the background. I keep, like, getting distracted. Sorry. I'll focus on this task at hand.
Well, you got the Brickyard 400 on, right? The inaugural one?
Yeah,
that's a good one. A family feud between the Bodines, which I guess we can probably end up talking about later, since our video of the week does have something to do with Indy around that time.
I will say that for a half a second, I almost wanted to post the Oprah episode where they're on there, but they're only on there for a couple minutes, so it's really not worth going too far out of your way to watch. But they did appear on like a Family Feud episode of Oprah after that happened, so
that's awesome.
Link that to the bonus videos or something.
So aside from my personal weekend, there was some other news that happened this weekend. I don't know where to even start, guys. So Rob, give us some guidance. What do we want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk about the race. We got halfway through it, and it actually was a great cup race. I got to say, like, my biggest takeaway from all of this was it was awesome to see. First off, congrats to Christopher Buescher. I wish you could go back to being Christopher. I like that. But congrats to Chris Buescher for pulling off two wins in a row. Congrats to the Roush guys. I don't think anyone saw that coming, but it really isn't that surprising. But two in a row for Chris Buescher is fucking insane at two wildly different tracks. So that's quite the statement and the right time to do it going into the playoffs. So
Definitely didn't expect it either, but I did take a chance betting wise and it paid off. So I'm very happy with that. Only like $25, but I only bet like 50 cents on them. So it's not too bad.
I don't know if they got a championship in them necessarily, but I think they'll go a little bit deeper than folks expect them to. And I don't know. The Gibbs guys kind of ran out of time, and Denny stalling on pit road, he kind of threw his race away. I think that would have been his otherwise, or Martin
and
Truex.
And Tyler, too. Don't
and Tyler, that. Oh, God. He said every cuss word he knew on the radio.
That's good.
You know, this little Joey Logano moment.
Yeah, it's good.
I was gonna say, another nice guy's cussing people out.
Yeah, seriously, it's a good thing they had his finger on the button there. Otherwise, he might have also lost his job, like Noah did. But we don't know what he said, but he was pissed off, and rightfully so, because this is like the 36th time this year where his picker has cost him a good finish. So, but I really love that race, and my overall big takeaway was I love that I was watching a race and. At any point in the last 20, 25 laps, I knew I wasn't going to see someone pull some fucking right hook, move them out of the way, Bowman Gray bullshit.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to be perfectly clean. If Truex couldn't get an honest run on him, he wouldn't take it. Christopher Bell won that race by taking it 3 wide with lap traffic. Just absolutely splitting Chris Buescher. See? Christopher Buescher. Now I see why it's so hard for Dale to get it right, but a Buescher split in the middle between lap traffic and Truex there. That was absolutely, you know, just a big old Texas-sized set of brass balls on display and ended up paying off.
I think it was a bit poetic that we talked about kind of comparing Buescher to Truex last week on the show, and who was fighting for the race this week. So
yeah, it was the two of them, and very, very clean racing and exciting nonetheless. And again, it's nice to watch something and not expect somebody to pull some stupid, you know, like fencing somebody or moving them out of the way. Just actually clean racing, which you don't really see a whole lot of in NASCAR anymore. And this is kind of a nice reminder that you don't need that shit to get a great finish.
I mean, the closest moment to that was just, you know, Truex getting himself loose trying to go underneath in, you know, 3 and 4 there. So
yeah,
it was very good to watch. You know, bummed I wasn't there for that, but still cool to watch on TV.
Yeah. What'd you think, True Love?
distracted again. Just fucking pre-race, and Brian like shuffling his deck of stickers over there. What are you doing?
No, don't blame it on me now. I'm not a fucking TV.
But yeah, that was a great race. Like the battle, like watching tricks, trying to hunt down Christopher. Those last 20-25 laps or so, it was so fun.
And Martin Truex surprising the hell out of Daniel Suarez there on those new tires.
Yeah, what the hell was that, man?
It seemed like no matter what strategy Truex was on, he could just carve his way through the field.
Yeah. But, well, it was a Monday, so.
Yeah, seriously. So, Brian, you've been to Michigan before, but you have not gone since the 90s, right?
No. Not. I think the last time I went was 17 or 18. I know Larson won the last time I was there, been a few years.
Nice.
Now that the cars are actually putting on good races, it's like I didn't get to go last year because I had a show back home in New York to go to, but this year I was dedicated to racing, so.
Nice. Yeah, it's very brave of you to continually go back to the place where you watched your favorite driver, Ernie Irvin, pass away back in 1994.
Yes.
I very much appreciate your bravery and your courage and, you know, yeah, it must be hard.
Like a bouquet of flowers to leave.
Yeah.
I was covered head to toe in Ernie gear, so there's that.
Hell yeah. But yeah, I thought that was great. I didn't really watch too much else. I missed the Xfinity race. It was my wife's birthday over the weekend. Happy birthday, Caddy. I love you. So we spent most of Saturday doing stuff that was not racing related.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hanging out, eating good food, all that shit. But yeah, I didn't watch that at all, so I don't know if you guys have anything you want to say about that.
I only watched a little of it. I kind of had it on my earbuds. I was doing shit around the house, but Ashley, did you watch it?
I mean, I watched it. You know, it was whatever. There was that wreck between the three Gibbs drivers pretty early on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then John Hunter ended up winning, so...
Future Cup Series driver John Hunter Nemechek.
Yeah.
Rocked up. And I heard the ARCA race is actually pretty good, too.
I couldn't tell you.
I know Frankie Muniz got a top five. That's about all I know, but good for him.
Yeah.
But after the Xfinity race, I guess... Chandler Smith had some words for Austin Hill. I was like, dear God, are you just asking to die?
Yeah, I was going to say, who is going to fuck with Austin Hill, man? He will destroy anyone. Yeah.
Who'd he sucker punch again? I don't even know if it was a sucker punch. It was just a straight up haymaker.
Wyatt Snyder?
Yes.
Yeah, he did
get Myatt Snyder. Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with Austin Hill. That's the kind of guy who will just snap you over his knee in the Waffle House parking lot. Mm-hmm. Big boy.
Big man.
But yeah, I thought, I didn't watch any of that, so I can't comment on it. Lots of great short track stuff, which I guess we can get to in a little bit, but I guess we should probably talk about Noah Gragson. He's actually my DARF of the week, especially since it seems like he is just a race fan now, and he said something or did something kind of dumb on the internet, and it paid dividends for him, and not positive ones, so I guess we could discuss that if we want. I guess there's really not a whole lot to discuss, but I don't know. Anyone want to take this one first?
Like, where do you start with this?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I gotta say, like, I think him getting suspended by NASCAR is severe overkill. Really, like, I understand the sponsors and the team taking action and all that, but NASCAR stepping in and laying a penalty down like that when they actually have let other shit like that slide. I mean, Denny Hamlin last year made some fucking sideways remark about Asian drivers in reference to Kyle Larson, and he went through sensitivity training, but he didn't get suspended or anything like that. And I guess you could sit here and argue the severity of one thing versus another, but I mean, Noah didn't even say anything from his own account. He just liked something, which could even be done accidentally, and it seems like that wasn't the case. He owned up to it. So, you know, it kind of is what it is, but it's pretty shocking to me that NASCAR would take the opportunity to just straight up suspend him when there have been other examples of that where they didn't. But I don't know. There's NASCAR's officiating is not always known for their consistency. So
I think you're not wrong with a lot of those points. I think what's changed now in 2023 is the fact that it's so much more on people's minds, both in the sport and those who are kind of observing the sport. You know, thankfully, when it comes to like socially conscious issues over the last handful of years, and I know most NASCAR fans are still, the majority are less progressive people. Let's just say that. But it's changed quite a bit for the better, and it doesn't even, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter the context and all that, because it does, but when you have these setbacks, they stand out. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, it might be a little bit overkill to have both NASCAR and the team suspend him. But at the same time, like, it had to be a little more than just a slap on the wrist, I think. Just because, again, it really is way more of an apparent black eye of the sport than even like Denny's thing. Like Denny's, again, if you want to talk about context and which is worse and all that, it's like Denny, again, I don't think Denny's always the most intelligent person, and he was like, I didn't even realize it was an Asian joke. He just thought it was a Family Guy meme. That's literally, that was his.
Well, I mean, honestly, we can get into the semantics of it, but like, what's the difference between that and liking some shit? I don't know. It's pretty, it's an interesting step for NASCAR, and it definitely sets a precedent. I understand why people like it. I understand why people hate it. There's about 15 different ways you can slice this situation and analyze it. I think at the very core, though, like, if someone is paying your bills and paying for you to have your job, you got to be a little bit smarter about that shit.
Yeah.
And 100%. Noah certainly wasn't, and now he's going to be fishing on Sundays, it looks like. Conflicting reports of whether or not he still has a job at all. And honestly, it really seems to me like, and this is the other overarching piece here, sorry to just like dominate the conversation here, I'll let you guys talk in a second, but it really seems like Legacy just is ready to get somebody else in that car to begin with. I don't think this is the reason. I think this is the excuse that they're going to use to remove Noah and make way for somebody else. It seems like John Hunter Nemechek is going to be the guy with his relationship with Toyota and how Legacy will be a Toyota team next year. It kind of seems like a nice turnkey way to like, go fuck yourself, get out of here, you're last in points, and we don't like you, and you're a pain in the ass.
That's the thing is, like, before this even happened, the John Hunter room was already in the air.
Already, yeah.
Already pretty much confirmed. And like some other people have said, and I personally have noticed, like, this wasn't the first mistake he's made both on and off track this year. You know, if you want to go back to, I know there was a mini bike wreck that he had, drinking and riding mini bikes at somebody's house.
Yep.
There were the Firefest comments that he made about North Wilkesboro that were totally disrespectful. Definitely he didn't really hide
Ross Chastain, don't forget
there's
about that.
That made him
for a wreck that
stupid
he caused.
Yeah, and there's also when the team announced the Toyota switch, he didn't really hide his displeasure with that either. So there were a lot of things against him before this news even broke, and I just think it's the straw that broke the camel's back. And we don't know 100% sure if he's out of the car for good, but he might as well be at this point.
Well, Mike Rockefeller is filling in for the next two races since we are a road racing series for the rest of August, or at least till we get to Daytona anyway.
Yeah, but Ashley, where are you weighing in all this? Are you still watching Indy over there?
Yeah, it says Brett wrecked.
I swear to God, it's the longest pre-race I've ever seen for a race.
Well, there were 95 cars that tried to qualify. There was a lot to talk about.
Yeah, they just went through the rows and it.
Yeah, she's watching the 94 Brickyard 400. I think we talked about that before the show started. And again, we're going to discuss the Brickyard in a second here. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of Noah. I've been a fan of Noah's for a long time. I know you guys aren't. But even being a fan, there's just been countless times over the years where I'm just like, Jesus Christ, dude, like, get it together. Like I've said for years that he just needs, like, better people around him. I feel like the people he surrounds himself with are, not doing him any favors. But
it's probably a fair assessment.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought, you know, Legacy suspending him was enough. Like, suspend him, send him to sensitivity training, and then, you know, let the team deal with it.
And I mean, that's been the precedent that's been set by NASCAR for many years. And I think the Larson thing was the only time where they really stepped out, and I think that was without question if the George Floyd protests hadn't been happening at that point and that situation wasn't boiling over, that it probably would have been the same thing for him.
Right.
But in NASCAR with Denny, they did the same thing, and Corey LaJoie happened to him when he was like 10 years old racing in K&N. If y'all remember that shit, Google that. That's pretty, pretty funny and very similar, to be honest. Only that was actually his own words. So that's kind of the, I don't know, man. It's.
But yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's been skating on thin ice anyway with how his season's going and the rumors with getting JHN in there. So like,
yeah,
you'd think if you were in that position, you would be like. So extra careful, but yeah, that's little... not exactly Noah's style.
He also talked about on the Jeff Kluck interview that he did how he was trying to spend less time on social media because there's such a sharp microscope on him. Probably should have taken his own advice there. And also, we got a follow up from my Rob Moroso joke from a few weeks ago.
Woo! Did we
so
ever.
Boy, did we found out that he lives. Like, Noah lives about a mile from where Rob's accident happened. So, I hope I'm not foreshadowing anything when I made that joke, but Jesus fucking Christ, like...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's time to go out and, you know, you're on vacation now, you can smoke weed, you know, maybe go fishing or sit on a bass boat in Lake Norman, you know, and smoke some more weed and take some time to reflect and... You know, you don't want to watch these road course races anyway, because it would, and just be happy you aren't there, because it probably wouldn't have gone that well anyway. Again, he's last place in points right now among full-time drivers. That's quite a feat when Ty Dillon's in a Spire car.
Right. It's got to be the worst rookie year I've ever seen. Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe it's a blessing in disguise for him. I don't know how you recover from that. You know, guys like Larson were able to come back by having just... generational talent and the ability to continue racing. You know, Noah's not plugged into the late model community or wherever he came from, like Larson is to the sprint car world. So it's not just as easy as like, well, I guess I'll go do this now. He's got to go out and find a ride, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like he'll be able to find a decent Xfinity ride.
I don't think he's going to lose Black Rifle Coffee as a sponsor. Let's just leave it that.
I think he'll land on his feet, but it's going to be a lot harder of a road, and he's going to have to be a lot more careful and really, really think about his future, I think. And again, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not a race car driver. You know, I don't know what that road is like, but, you know, yeah, right. Maybe a little bit more of a deep breath before you make decisions, buddy, from now on.
I mean, he's only 25. I was still doing so much fucking dumb shit at 25. But
yeah.
Also, I wasn't, you know... backed by millions of dollars worth of sponsors.
And he is talented. I don't want anyone out there to, you know, act like I don't think that he can actually drive a race car when I talk shit. I don't think his situation is, you know.
He's talented, but he's also a rich kid who clearly has issues with discipline. So that's really going to be, if that is going to be his downfall, like that'll be the story. It's really up to him to kind of mature and, you know, like Ashley said, get the right people around him and, you know, just rehab his image. Because it's like every time, I feel like every time he shows a moment of personality or something on the track, like the bowl cut thing was fucking ridiculous in a good way. Like that was actually one of the.
Oh, we're calling that good? That's more offensive than the George Floyd thing, if you ask me.
Oh, come on. I thought it was funny. It was one of those stupid child things you do, I guess, is get an awful haircut. But it was.
And you go get
way,
punched
like,
on TV in that haircut too. That's the best part about
better,
it.
Yeah.
So. It's like every time
it
he has a moment like
that kept on giving.
Every time he has a moment like that, though, I feel like, you know, within a month or two, he does something to completely just wash it away, and he's got to break that streak. Yeah.
And you've seen guys like Carson Hocevar go out there and kind of like take a deep breath and rehab a little bit, because I would say Carson's trajectory into the series, or into the big NASCAR world, is kind of similar. Go out there, wreck a lot of cars, wreck a lot of people, get into some shit, kind of act like a clown, and have a moment where you got to come to Jesus a little bit. Go race some dirt late models and show everybody you got talent, and then start winning races. And that's what Carson's done. And you know, Noah's already won a bunch of races, so I think it's just, you know, maybe, yeah, exactly. Just take a deep breath.
The funny thing about that comparison is. Carson said all it took was one conversation with Dale Jr. telling him to stop wrecking shit to change it. Whereas Noah drove for Dale Jr. for how long, and it clearly didn't all sink in. So
yeah,
I think the lesson here is just maybe no one should drive the number 42. It's clearly.
Yeah. That's a very, very strong point. Yeah, maybe it's time to retire that number.
But other than that, yeah, I think that's about all you can say about that situation. It's going to be interesting to see how they finish out the year. Obviously, John Hunter is, I'd be incredibly shocked to see if he got any starts in that car while it's still got a Chevrolet badge on it.
Yeah.
I feel like Josh Berry is going to be seeing a lot of cup action, which works out for the Stewart Haas guys. You know, he's not under contract with Ford yet. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've got what after the playoffs start, we've got the Roval. Is that the last road course of the year?
No. Yeah. Yes, it is. Sorry.
Okay, so we've got one more road course race. You've got Daytona, got a bunch of mile and a halfs. I mean, who knows who they could put in there? It could be John Hunter. I feel like it'll probably be a mix of different random guys.
Speaking of Carson Hocevar, unless I imagine this, he is driving the 77 next year.
Yeah, that's
he's coming to Cup.
He's just skipping right on up there, huh?
I think that's probably a fine thing for him. He did okay in that one start he had, so I'm willing to accept it. We'll see.
he's still on the redemption trail for me, but I you know, we'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah, I'm rethinking my statement over here after
process
I said that.
That news.
But yeah, Carson Hocevar coming to Cup, so that'll be fun. But yeah, Indy up next week. That'll be something. I don't really care a whole lot about the road courses. Indy is a very classic jam it in six wide kind of place, and I really fucking hate that. I wanted to do that. I go watch some fucking mini stocks somewhere.
So before we segue into the video, might as well, let's just even skip the DARF of the week, because my DARF was going to be all the people who made the Kyle Larson joke about Noah's going to be the next Hendrick driver, because that's clear.
I've got a DARF of the week, buddy.
That's not going to happen. What's that?
I've got a DARF of the week. There's no question about that. And I do want to talk about one thing before we get to that, though. Did you guys see that video of Burt Myers dumping an entire bucket of Speedy Dry on Chris Fleming at Bowman Gray?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Funniest shit
that's
of the
a,
year,
that's
right
a whole,
there.
Whole mood right there.
It's my favorite racing clip of the year. I thought them boys fighting off in the woods down in Alabama was something else. And leave it to Bowman Gray to put on a better show for me. You guys got to look that shit up. There's a lot of great short track racing over the past weekend. I want to give a shout out to Austin Beers for winning at Lancaster. He's my new favorite modified driver. I like watching him. Huge deal with Kyle Larson and Logan Schuchart at I-55 on the Friday night, I believe. Incredible finish. Spencer Bastin won the big night at I-55 as well. See, Bobby Pierce winning at Cedar Lake. Huge races all over the place. And this is a segue into my DARF of the week here, which again, it is really Noah. You know, Noah has earned that now that he doesn't have a job, but before that all went down, Kyle Larson decided to go run an outlaw race on Friday night. It's the one he ended up winning up at I-55 for the Ironman. And it was on the World of Outlaws Facebook page. They said, "We've had another former Ironman champ to tonight's field," and it's a picture of the Findlay Farms 57 owned by Paul Silva. You all know it. It's a beautiful race car. And a guy named Mike Castile chimes in and says, "He needs listen to people like Gibbs and Penske. Your job is NASCAR. The best drivers in country and competition. Why risk anything on a support series?" That makes my blood boil. "Most NASCAR drivers would win or do very well racing in a dirt car." And it got a lot of laugh reacts, which is the correct response to that, because that is pure comedy. But I would, I don't know if we all remember, and you know, you can close your ears for this one, Trula, but Chase Elliott flinging himself into the next county in Tulsa in a midget, or anybody else who sat in a dirt car, with the exception of maybe Alex Bowman, who isn't all that great in a 410 either. It is incredibly hard to win in dirt racing. It's not a support series, first off. There's no question about that. It's its own thing. And I don't know, you can sit here and talk about pavement versus dirt all you want. I don't have a preference either way. Everything has a place. But to sit here and act like, you know, anybody from NASCAR could jump into particularly a 410 sprint car and win is just smoking a fucking Dollar General basket. just melting that shit and smoking. So that's what I'm going to sentence my Darf of the Week to. He can go out behind Dollar General and get the smoking crate and light that fucker on fire with a lighter and just inhale whatever comes off it. And yeah, your hangover is your punishment for being my Darf of the Week.
I feel like that's not an opinion that I see very often from short track fans. You know, I feel like you want the big name guys to come out and race because, you know, whether you know or not that
I think they tagged Kyle Larson and he probably saw it on his like pro cross promotional Facebook page Facebook post, whatever. But yeah, real dumb opinion. And speaking of sprint cars, before we move on to the big video of the week here, I'm very excited to watch this, by the way. It is Knoxville week, folks, starting actually tonight. If you got Dirt Vision, the annual one, subscription, you can watch the whole thing, but it's also worth just getting the pay-per-view and watching this. The best four nights of dirt racing, or 410 sprint car racing of the year. There's over 100 cars on the entry list. It's going to be fucking awesome, and I'm sure you'll hear all about it from me next week, but I encourage you to tune in.
I might do that.
How much is the pay-per-view?
I think it's like $50 or something like that.
For the week.
For the week, but yeah, Outlaw shows are always great. And if you want to spend the $350 or whatever on an annual Dirt Vision pass, you do get Knoxville included. And if you are a current Dirt Vision subscriber, I'm sure you're all just as tired of watching that fucking guy in the polo talk about how to add it to your subscription. It's like watching a Windows 95 like instructional video, but it's in the middle of your dirt racing broadcast. So thank God that's almost over. Starting tonight, it's going to be great. Four nights of the Knoxville Nationals. Also, the North-South 100 coming up this weekend. That's going to be fucking awesome, too. So, but anyway, back to our regularly scheduled NASCAR programming with our video of the week. Brian?
Well, yeah. So, as I was going to say earlier, a little bit of a segue, talking about the Indy Road Course and how, you know, Rob, you're not a huge fan of that. I personally, the one time I went a couple years ago, I loved it. I had a really good time there.
Yeah.
But in prepping for this week's show and this week's trip to Indy, news kind of broke that NASCAR is, I forget if they said if it's this week or after the actual race, but they're going to be doing a tire test on the oval. And I think all these rumors of next year going back to the regular track, I feel like it's got to be the case at this point.
I mean, Denny all but confirmed it in his presser before the weekend. He said, we're going to Indy next year on the oval.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I necessarily want to go and check that out as a fan. I definitely am ready for them to go back to the oval. And watching this video will be a good indicator as of why. Because what we did was we found a tape of, or a video clip of, the second tire test that went down at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the Cup cars.
Yeah, shout out to NASCAR, man.
It was announced in 1992 that NASCAR would be finally racing there. There was one tire test in 92 and then another one in 93. This test drew over 100,000 people to the track for a test. Not qualifying, nothing but a fucking test. So if you were ever... it's really hard to explain the fervor that came with this event announcement. Going back and watching the videos, you know, if you weren't around in the 90s, you it's hard to really put into perspective A, how much the sport was growing at this time, and B, really how much of an event this was going to be.
The fact that NASCAR was at Indianapolis in any capacity was unfathomable.
Yeah, no other series had run on the oval prior to NASCAR, for the longest time, a lot of IndyCar guys weren't into the idea. I don't think a lot of NASCAR guys even necessarily were into the idea, but in the 90s, the sport was really at its hottest and really just on its way up. So now is the time. So in 93, you had 30-something of the full-time teams come out and do this test. And ESPN did a little half-hour program on it, and we watched it. Like a lot of things from ESPN in the 90s, it was hosted by Bob Jenkins and Benny Parsons. Benny was there, like anything involving Benny, there were a bunch of fat jokes. Benny said it was 95,000 degrees out there, so he was not loving it that day. Kyle, we see a clip of Kyle Petty. He's insulting the intelligence of some of the fans there. He was making a joke about what's that one song that they sing? It's like "My Home Is Indiana" or some shit like that.
Back Home Again in Indiana.
Yeah. Kyle was like, "Yeah, these guys only know the first four words, anyways." So just straight up insulting the indie folks right off the bat. Good job, Kyle. The first cars on the track were Jeff Bodine and Dale Earnhardt, and they almost wrecked each other trying to lead that first lap. Jeff ended up winning it, and Dale was very pissy about not being the first one to cross that line, which
the
is
Miss
hilarious.
Indianapolis number 7.
So yeah, that brings up another point. So Jeff Bodine, this was his first, I think his first time actually driving the 7 car, and there were a couple points to make on this particular clip. So this is right after Jeff bought the team, but he was still driving for the Bud Moore team that season, and I can't remember if he actually got in the 7 car before the end of the year or he waited until the full year was out, but both he and John Andretti both were testing in cars that they weren't going to be in until the next year. John Andretti was driving the 14 Kellogg's car, which I think by the time he was actually in that car last year, Kellogg's went with Terry Labonte to the 5 car. And I forget who his sponsor was that year, but it was interesting to see two different drivers in the cars they were going to be driving next year doing this test. And I don't know, they'd still do that today, would they? I mean, you don't necessarily want else's equipment, even if they're a lame duck driver, but I thought that was interesting to see.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more
happening today.
Yeah, a lot more proprietary elements involved in contracts these days. I'd be shocked. Well, we were talking about it. You know, if Noah's not driving for Legacy anymore, they're not going to let John Hunter come in there. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I guess that depends on if Legacy's going to have some sort of involvement with Gibbs, but
yeah,
that's another story. Anyways, speaking of drivers who were getting in other people's cars, Benny wanted to get into Bud Moore's car, and Bud didn't think he could fit in there. He was able to barely squeeze in, but could not get the steering wheel on the car, so Benny was unfortunately unable to run any laps.
He also had his Jaguar fire suit on from the that challenge race was.
Yes, the Fast. I'm looking it up here now. Fastmaster series.
Fastmasters, yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole other different topic we'll have to talk about someday.
That's going to have to be a video of the week at some point, one of those races. Sure. It's definitely sort of a precursor to SRX.
Bobby Labonte in the 22 Bill Davis car was the fastest car on day one, which is a little bit of a surprise. This was baby Bobby before he got his teeth fixed. He still had a nice little gap in his teeth. You look at pictures from the early 90s and Bobby in the 2000s, it's like two different fucking people.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a clip, you know, aforementioned John Andretti. There's a clip of him, and he talks about wanting to do both races at Indy last year, which he actually ended up doing in 94. Not only that, he was the first driver to actually pull off the double that same year. So that was always, you know, that was cool to see. John was still, I don't even know if he was in a car full time or what his NASCAR status was in 93, but he definitely was really
he was in the Cale Yarborough kind of world. He was bouncing between teams at that point. By the way, speaking of John Andretti, I recommend everyone reading his book Racer. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome. But RIP John. Get your prostates checked, folks.
Pretty much the end of day one, though, is a pretty bad wreck for Uncle Kenny. They showed the clip of him, and he was, I forget who he was racing against, and just kind of got loose and fishtailed it and took a real bad slam to the inside wall and ended up breaking his shoulder blade, I guess. So, you know, granted, he wasn't going to be out of the race because it was not for another year anyhow, but still, that's real shitty to get hurt on a test like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said that he was going to run Bristol the next week with, like, just an altered seat.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess that crazy. Makes sense. He would have been, I think he was, well, yeah, he was in that 40 car then, so that makes sense. Starting off day two, there is a clip of an autograph hunter lady who was very excited just to get her autograph signed. She just, like, quick showed up a t-shirt at the camera. You see PJ Jones, he's another guy that wrecked.
Such is tradition.
He had he had a weird wispy mullet. That's what I'm
yes,
describing.
Yes, that's exactly
it as.
What I wrote down was wispy banged mullet.
just awful, and a weird voice too. Pete, like, just everything about him is just off-putting.
It's a Parnelli Jones kid.
Yep.
Not kidding. It's Parnelli Jones kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's I know.
Man, I'm watching the video as we talk about this, and yeah, I forgot how ugly that Kenny Wallace wreck was. This driver's side shot.
Yeah, it was
right
to
the inside
bad.
Wall.
Next up, Richard Petty. They take a lunch break, and Richard Petty does some laps in a car that he ended up donating to the museum. I guess it was the first stock car in the Indianapolis Museum, so that was a cool little moment. Richard, I believe, took part in the also, so it's not like it was his only time on the track. Let's see, Kyle Petty, he gets interviewed next, and he talks about how if he wins, he'll donate his car, because he says, you know, Felix Abadi's wouldn't give a shit, more or less. he compares the track to Pocono in you know, how it's long and flat and all that, and he also mentions shifting, which I don't remember that, the fact that these guys were shifting on a 2.5 mile oval.
Yeah.
Is pretty wild to think about. I mean, yeah, they shift now on short tracks, but it's a lot different car.
Well, they always shifted at Pocono as well, and turn two at Pocono is actually based off of one of the all the corners of Indy are mostly identical, so I don't know which particular one they based it off of, but that was a direct reference in designing turn two at Pocono, so, and that's also where they shift, so probably the same logic applying.
Next up, there's a clip of a big pack of cars, and surprise, surprise, this ended up in a wreck with, looks like it was PJ taking, wait, no, was it PJ? Who the hell was the car that wrecked? Was it, oh, John Andretti. John Andretti wrecked. He collected Mark Martin, PJ Jones, and Jimmy Spencer. John, thankfully, was okay, unlike Kenny Wallace the day before.
Yeah.
Going back to my drivers testing cars they're not actually driving reference, Mark Martin thought he hit Terry Labonte, didn't realize it was John Andretti driving the car. Next up is a DW interview, which, again, another driver showing their southern charm. He's talking about the importance of getting to that first turn cleanly. He thinks the guys will be able to race double file in those turns, and that passing is going to be happening on the straightaways. He thinks the cars, the slingshot move, isn't going to work as well as it does for Indy cars.
Right about that.
And he references Ray Haroon, who I guess was the first Indy 500 winner.
Yeah.
And first off, he thinks he won three in a row, which he didn't. And then, you know, again, another driver talking about donating their car if they win. He says, we want our car in there with Ray Haroon or Macaroni or whatever you call him. So, again, these southern drivers just kind of mocking the sport that they're up, not necessarily competing against, but I mean,
meanwhile, they're fixing to get their asses handed to them by a bunch of open wheel guys and Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart coming up. So that comeuppance happens, folks.
Yeah. another Benny Fat joke. besides, where are you having dinner tonight? What's the question you've most encountered this weekend, Benny? So, just different times, folks. Poor Benny. He has such a good sense of humor.
I got to say, anytime Benny Parsons is involved in a video, you got to watch it. It's always a net positive in your life to have that man's presence in front of you.
100%. He was the best.
Seriously.
And that pretty much wraps it up. They do talk about tickets, and, you know, harkening back to our show last week where we had that Jeff Gordon fan who wasn't going to make it to Indy. Well, this might have been why. So the ticket process in 93 obviously was a lot different than buying tickets now. You actually had to mail in and get onto a waiting list. And then in the fall of 93, they were going to start distributing tickets.
I mean, that's still how you buy tickets to Indy.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, for the 500 anyway. You still have to apply and you wait and you kind of got to do it on Memorial Day to, I mean, obviously the demand is not as wild as it used to be. It does sell out, but, you know, I think you have a little bit more wiggle room. But, yeah, there's back in the day, like, it was years of waiting to get in there, kind of like Bristol was.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's fair. Even hell, even New Hampshire used to have a years long waiting list. So, but yeah, that's probably why we were given that fan shit. That's probably why she probably didn't get on the waiting list early enough. So, I understand. And that was pretty much it. It's a pretty short video. But again, really, this is a nice time capsule.
You didn't watch the end?
Well, I was going to say yes.
That
there
it's taped over.
So there was an added bonus clip. So a clip from Speed Week, which is ESPN's weekly racing show that was before RPM Tonight in the early '90s and '80s. You get another peek at PJ Jones and his dad, kind of some behind the scenes footage of that test day.
It dives right back into that mullet, and he's talking about his race car underwear. I was like, what the fuck?
And then we get, after that, we get a nice little interview with David Pearson and Richard Petty, which, you know, isn't really, you know, there's nothing too exciting they say in there. I think they're both, you know, they're both happy that NASCAR is in Indy. They think the sport, you know, David never thought NASCAR would get to the point where it's big enough now to compete with Indy in that sense.
Yeah.
But now in 93, the sport's really not at its peak yet, but it's exponentially growing with each race. Probably the most interesting, there's two interesting quotes in this interview. One, we mentioned the Fastmaster series that Benny was wearing the driver's suit from. Let's see. So they joke about winning $100,000 and how Richard was, you're going to do it next year? And Dave is like, he don't care about $100,000. Richard then adds the quip, I don't care about $100,000. As soon as I get $100,000, Clinton's going to call me up and ask me for $110,000. So
he could not wait to get a jab in on Bill Clinton. Like, you could tell he was just waiting for it.
So for those who don't remember, Richard was a Republican. I don't know if he was mayor of Randleman, but I know he definitely ran for Senate at one point.
He did.
Maybe even had one of those, like, not actual runs at governor. But he was an active Republican in the 90s. And again, the 90s political landscape was a little more respectful than it is now. Let's
it's
just
a little
say
different.
That.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other quote was Richard gets asked about Kyle, what Kyle's up to. And Richard basically says, you know, he wanted to do his own thing, which is probably for the best. And he goes, he's his mother's boy. He's not a daddy's boy. So I thought that was a pretty funny point. But yeah, it's, again, a really short video. You know, if you weren't around in the 90s when the Brickyard was first conceived, again, it's another great window into really just, it's almost a completely different sport in 1993 than it is now. And obviously it's a completely different race and a completely different crowd, and, you know, hopefully next year that Brickyard actually comes back and we'll see some sort of return to glory, because I feel like it'll be a good race, especially with this new car.
I agree.
But this was the beginning of it all.
It really was. Yeah, it is kind of a nice little tie-in, because like you said, we are going tire testing after this weekend, so, and that's an extension of the short track package test, so it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of that and if any changes with the short track package currently comes out of this. But yeah, there's so much video footage available from this era just because of how monumental the event was. And like, 95 cars showed up to qualify. They allowed Winston West cars to show up as well, so the entry list was huge. Qualifying took like 6 weeks, it felt. And I can't stress, like, growing up and watching this as a young IndyCar and NASCAR fan, how excited I was to see it happen and just how big of a fucking deal this was. I don't even know if there's a comparison I can make to anything else to really display how the magnitude of what this meant, especially in light with what would happen to CART and IndyCar within a couple of years. So with the split and everything. But yeah, this is a cool little piece. And again, shout out to NASCAR Man on YouTube. That's a great channel. Lots of great little docs and a bunch of archival footage up there. So I highly recommend checking out his channel if you get a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so again, we got Indy this weekend. We got Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
I've mentioned it many times, but I am going to be heading back to my hometown of Albany, New York, and Friday I'm going to be driving a big block modified at Lebanon Valley Speedway as Sick. Part of the Kenny Wallace Dirt Track Experience. My best friend Josh is doing it with me, so I'm really excited. As of right now, the weather actually looks good, so fingers crossed it holds out. Weather for Saturday is looking a little more iffy. I hope it holds out because I would like to see Kenny Tremont at least one more time at the Valley before he retires, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out there before the season's over. So I'm hoping the weather holds out. I don't care if it rains all day as long as I get racing in. I feel like every other weekend the Valley's been canceled this year, so...
It's been bad up here. Yeah, everything's been rained out. Pretty much anything north of Connecticut.
And even the whole weekend, aside from Friday, does not look great. So I'm hoping I get to drive, but I really want to see Kenny one more time, too. If not, I'm going to see him at Oswego for that race. But I would, you know, the Valley's my home track. It's his home track, and I want to see him one more time out there.
I might grow wild hair and come out there and see you on Saturday if it works out.
All right. Well, I hope that does happen. I will be harassing you for sure.
Yeah, I got a lot of racing, or I guess a decent amount coming up. If I go to the Valley, that's one thing, but also NASCAR mods are at Thompson next Wednesday. That's going to be on Flow Racing if you want to tune in. Been seeing some small car counts on the tour, which is kind of a bummer, but the quality of cars has been pretty good, so still a good show nonetheless. But I'll be at Thompson next Wednesday. That's certified. You can count on it unless the rain happens, which it usually does. So...
Well, let's hope not. Ashley, you doing anything racing-wise this weekend, or what?
No. I've got no racing on the docket for a minute.
Not even Indy.
Putting together some plans to maybe go to Bristol next month, so we'll see. But
oh, that's awesome.
I just really hope that when you do your Uncle Kenny experience, that there's, like, a safety video you have to watch beforehand that Kenny's, like, narrating and acting out.
I'm going to try to document as much of this whole experience as I can. I'm planning on paying for the in-car camera, so I'm going to get that. Probably get the plaque that you get with it. I've already got 20 laps, which is almost a full feature, but if there are any options to buy more laps while you're there, which apparently that's a thing, while you're at the track, they try to upsell you. I'll give him another 100 bucks for another 20 laps. Why the fuck not?
Just seriously.
Just try for 45 minutes. Yeah, whole full test session. I got to earn myself a ride this weekend, folks.
Hell yeah. It's a big block, right?
It's a big block.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man. I'm so stoked for you. I've never done a driving experience or anything like that, and this one sounds pretty killer.
Yeah, I did the Daytona ride-along when I was, like, 16. My stepdad has done the Darlington one, and I'll probably do Darlington at some point just because it's actually not that expensive to do any of these things. When the option was given to me, do you want to drive a stock car, do you want to drive a dirt modified all the way? I mean, that was the first type of racing I ever loved, and those cars, to be honest, look more fun to drive than a stock car, so I'd rather do that. Probably next one would be a 410 Sprint, because I think they have those as well, so I think that'd be fun to drive.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, folks, thank you for once again joining us at another trip to Applebee's. As always, you can follow us at Meet me at Applebee's on Instagram, meet me at the Bees on Twitter, and Speedway Screens and all the things, and speedwaytsj.etsy.com.
Can't wait for this one. Here it comes.
It's still Snake Mountain True Love, y'all.
You haven't changed it yet.
It's still, fuck it. I was just going to change it to, like, my regular name. Turns out there's, like, 52,000 people named Ashley True Love, so.
Oh.
Stick with Snake Mountain.
What are the odds?
Every goddamn mom in America named their daughter Ashley in the 80s. So.
Yeah, and they believe in true love, so.
Clearly.
As someone who is in the dating pool now, nearing 40, a lot of Ashleys, a lot of Jessicas, a lot of Sarahs, yes. All 80s names.
If I wasn't named Ashley, they were going to name me Jessica, so.
Nice. That could always be your Instagram name, Jessica True Love. Have you tried that one? Well, my Instagram name is RobMoats_unofficial, and it always will be, because I barely go on the app anymore except to send memes to these guys. But don't look too closely, please. I don't want to lose my job at NASCAR. I have a big show announcement coming up here pretty soon. I just can't make it just yet, but I will say my old band Dirty Bangs is making a little return. So if anyone from the New England area knows who we are, you're going to get one more chance to see us.
Cool. Well, lovely. I hope that happens sooner than later. And if it's in October, maybe I'll be up that way in October.
It's in November. It's the day before Thanksgiving. That's what I can tell you.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, no. No one's going to come. It's going to be a terrible show.
No, that's, I mean...
Playing in a big-ass club with no one there, but...
Like, listen, that's what all the people that left town come home. You'll be fine.
That's fine, yeah. But, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. I'll talk more about it later. I just can't announce it because the headliner hasn't announced, so... But, yeah. If you like Dirty Bangs, you know who that is? Well, you get one more chance to see us.
There you go. All right, folks. Well, thank you again, and we'll talk to you next week.